A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Mary set out at that time and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." I have always been deeply impressed by the joyful spirit expressed by St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians, especially when we consider that he wrote this letter while he was in chains. How can a person imprisoned unjustly say that he was joyful and exhort his readers to rejoice? The only answer is that there is something special that qualifies this type of joy. It is the joy of the Lord. That is why the apostle emphatically repeats, "Rejoice in the Lord." Friedrich Nietzsche once sarcastically commented, "Jesus' disciples should look more redeemed." And perhaps in a certain sense he was right. We have lost the freshness of that message that started a silent revolution in a pagan and divided world, the message that proclaimed Christ as the one in whom there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor pagan, for he broke down the wall of separation. This was the message that even today can bring hope and joy to a desperate world. Paul Tillich rightly observed this for the men that the men of the Old and New Testament, the lack of joy is a consequence of men's separation from God, and the presence of joy is a consequence of the reunion with God. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is always presented as good news, a promise which stirs hope and an unquenchable joy. The believer is urged to serve the Lord with gladness. Furthermore, according to St. Paul, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And today's Gospel presents us two women who know perfectly well that the joy that comes from the Lord is a gift that must be shared with others. Both had every right and reason to rejoice, for both were miraculously made pregnant, even though in the case of Elizabeth she was barren, and in the case of Mary she was a virgin. Both had experienced God in a very special way in their lives, as Emmanuel, a God with them, a Lord of their history. And see how they are greeting each other and sharing their joy, a joy that knows no jealousy. Jealousy blinds us, rendering us incapable to see the good in others and even in ourselves. Jealousy turns joy to sorrow. But Mary and Elizabeth share their joy as they perceive the wonderful love of God operative in each other. And their joy was so great that it was extended also to John, who was still in his mother's womb. As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. Many years later, Mary will bring joy to a newly married couple in Cana of Galilee. During the wedding reception, they ran short of wine. And thanks to Mary's intervention, Jesus performed his first miracle and provided them with wine, which in biblical language is always the symbol of joy. In a few days' time, Mary will grant us, desperate humanity, the greatest gift of God, the Word made flesh in her womb. As she hands this gift to us, poor mortals, she instills in us that hope which is grounded in God Himself. And she reminds us that no one has the right to rejoice alone. Joy must be shared. With whom are you going to share your joy this Christmas? Only with your family and friends? If so, then you have not grasped entirely the message of Christmas joy. Are you thinking of those millions who are craving for a piece of bread? They may be very far from you. But then, are you thinking of many other millions who are craving not so much for bread, but certainly for love? They may be very close to you, your next-door neighbor, a widower who is living alone, abandoned even by his own children, a woman recently divorced by her husband, an immigrant who dared his life to search of a better life to support his family. All these need a smile. Can you smile at them? In his book, The Gospel to Every Creature, Cardinal Swinens defined a smile in these words. A smile is a luminous ray from the face of God. To smile is to look at others with the eyes of God. Can you smile at others in such a way that you look at them, at him or at her, with the eyes of God, whose eyes are always clear and wear no tinted glasses? May this Christmas provide you with many opportunities to share your joy with others.